Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
His whole point to them is, because you're a citizen of heaven, you're my joy and my crown, stand fast in the Lord. We need to be rooted. We need to be grounded. We need to make a commitment that we're not going to be swayed and that we will stand fast in Christ. That's exactly what Paul is saying to the church in Philippi. I love you guys. You're my joy. You're my crown. Now stand fast in the Lord.
Paul's letter to the church at Philippi was a strong reminder and encouragement that they needed to be rooted and grounded in the true Word of God and to stand fast in the Lord and stop being wishy-washy. With everything going on in today's culture, Paul's words are for the church today. With a call for bold and sincere faith, here's Robert Furrow with part two of our message out of Philippians 4, verses 1 through 5.
We are here on the earth and we represent heaven. And we are called by God, not as citizens of this earth with our minds set on the things of the earth, but set in heaven. So we are the ecclesia, which is a group of people that were called out, that were given power and authority, and that's us. It says at the end of Matthew 16, 18 through 19, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, this has been so massively misused. So there are people who think that, well, gosh, if I bind something here on earth, it's going to be bound in heaven. So I bind you poverty. I bind you Satan. I bind you sickness. I bind you. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about that God has established already the way to get into heaven. In fact, the way it reads in the Greek is, what you bind on earth has already been bound in heaven, and what you bind or has already been bound in heaven is what the Greek is really saying, and whatever you loose on earth has already been loosed in heaven. So the idea is that we're walking in authority already, that we already have the authority to be able to bind and loose and see people set free for Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean that we can just not like certain aspects of our lives and then continue on. All right, so that's the basic concept and idea of the church. Let's pick it up in verse 1 of Philippians chapter 4. And it starts off with the word therefore. And anytime there's a therefore, you want to find out what it's there for. And so it's the last passage where Paul's talking about two people who are walking, one who's walking according to the world, and another one who is a citizen of heaven and is walking according to the things of God. That's the last passage that we just covered. And so because we are not citizens of this earth, but we are citizens of heaven, he says, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren. And I love Paul's tenderness to this church in Philippi. We know that they had a special place in his heart. We know that he planted the church some 10 years before this. And I love the way he calls them my beloved. I think that there should be that kind of tenderness within the church, that we really ought to be able to express the love that we have for one another. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren. Then he doesn't end there. He doesn't just kind of move on now. It's not like he's just going to go, I want you guys to know, I really love you. Now let's move on. He kind of lays it on him. He says, and joy and crown. My beloved and joy and crown. For a man who is in prison in Rome, his joy and crown is the church in Philippi, the people that he loves there. And then he says to them, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. He adds beloved one more time, letting them know how much he loves them. But his whole point to them is, because you're a citizen of heaven, you're my joy and my crown, stand fast in the Lord. We need to be rooted. We need to be grounded. We need to make a commitment that we're not going to be swayed and that we will stand fast in Christ. That's exactly what Paul is saying to the church in Philippi. I love you guys. You're my joy. You're my crown. Now stand fast in the Lord. And I think that that's because even in his time, there were people who weren't standing fast in Christ. There were people who were wishy-washy about their faith, just like there are today. There were people who really weren't following Jesus. There is always a mixture of genuine Christians and people that look like Christians but are not genuine Christians, always in the church. Jesus talked about the tares and the wheat. We also know that the church was going to grow abnormally large. And this is just an encouragement that you make sure that you are truly serving Christ, that there is a sincerity about your faith. We want to get rid of hypocrisy. We want to live for Him with everything that we have. And so Paul says to them, stand fast in the Lord. Now, here we've got a couple of Greek names, which I'm going to butcher. I'm just going to let you know right from the beginning. All right. I practiced them today, but that never helps me when it comes to Greek names, especially Greek names. So I implore Euoda and Syntyche. I'm going to go with Syntyche. Euoda and Syntyche to be of the same mind. These were two gals that were in the Philippian church. And something had happened. And there was a conflict between them. Conflicts happen in churches. And sometimes someone does something and says something that hurts us. Sometimes it's leadership that hurts us. Here it is, these two that should be really of the same mind, but they're not. We're not told what the problem was. We're not told anything about what kind of a dispute they were having. But he tells them that they are supposed to be of the same mind. And then he says, and I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel. Now we learn something else about these two gals. And that is that they helped him in laboring in the gospel. They, remember, the church of Philippi started with a woman's prayer meeting, I think would be a good way to say it. And that Lydia, the seller of purple, her heart was touched, and that a lot of people began to come to Christ in Philippi because of that. And these two gals were used by that. But for some reason, there's this kind of a conflict. And this is so practical because there will always be conflicts. Conflicts will arise. And sometimes someone's going to say something that's going to offend you and that's going to hurt you. And so he says, these women labored with him. Also notice in verse 3, he says, and I urge you also, true companion. That's an interesting statement from Paul. That's a statement that you ought to underline, circle, and think about a little bit in the future. It literally means yoke fellow is the literal word. In fact, if you've got a King James Bible, I think it uses the word true yoke fellow. So the idea of a yoke fellow would be someone who does work with you. Right? So you've got horses that are yoked together and they're both doing the work. You've got oxen that are yoked together and they're both doing the work. You have people that God brings alongside of us who are yoke fellows. They help to do the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's part of what a church really is that we are put together as a group of people who are given gifts of pastors and evangelists who help equip the saints for the work of the ministry. We are to do the work together. If you look up this word, true companion, in the Greek, you're going to see that it means a fellow laborer or a spouse. So you can imagine that there are those, because people try to find things in the Bible that they can point out that other people haven't seen. So there are those who will say that they think that Paul had a wife who was living in Philippi and that he was calling her the true companion. I don't think at all that's what Paul's saying, right? I don't think that's even close to what Paul's saying. In fact, I think we could make a pretty good case that at this point, Paul is single because of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm going to say we can make a strong case that Paul is single at this point. He may be talking about the pastor of the church in Philippi, my true companion, my true yoke fellow, the one who's pulling along with me here in the work that we're doing there. It may be that he's telling the pastor, you have some responsibility here to help these women who labored with me in the gospel. Then he also says, with Clement also. Now, Clement is an interesting name because there's Clement of Rome. There were some early church fathers who were very influential. Clement of Rome was one of them who was very influential. But Clement is a common name as well. But we get an idea now that this church in Philippi is not just this group of people that gather and disperse, but they're a group of people that minister together. They're a group of people that God calls together side by side. And I think there's something special about God bringing people together in a church to do work, to do the work of the ministry. That God calls us, that we would do that work that He's called us to do. And if there is some kind of a problem with you and someone else, well, the Bible tells us in plenty of places, Ephesians 4:32, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. We need to be so ready to let go, let God take care of things, to be able to forgive people for offenses that have taken place, to let people know, I was hurt by that, but I forgive you. And to be that kind of person that does it, that's exactly what Paul's writing about here as he's talking about this church. And then he says, Clement also and the rest of the fellow workers, so there's more than just these guys that he's talking about, whose names are written in the book of life. So these guys have eternal life. He says here in verse 4, and I want to talk about this some now, and then I want to come back and talk about this again next week, okay? So he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. That is the theme of the book of Philippians, and he is in prison. And this life, for all people, by the way, has been called a tragedy because we struggle. We go through difficulties, and then we die, and that's a tragedy. The fact that all of us have death in our future is a tragedy. But Jesus rose from the grave and gives us eternal life forever. He comes into the midst of lives that are headed towards death, and he transforms us and he gives us life. No wonder Paul can rejoice while he's in prison. Paul can be in prison finishing out the tragedy of his life. He'll stand before Nero. He'll be condemned to death. He'll be beheaded in Rome. It's not far away from where he's at now. But he says to them, as he's talking to them about their interaction with one another, rejoice in the Lord always. That means when times are good, you rejoice. When times are bad, you rejoice. If you're at home and you're sick with COVID, you rejoice. One of the things that happened to me was that I got a stomach ache, a really bad stomach ache. And for 2 or 3 days, I just laid in front of my TV with my computer on my lap and told the Lord about the third day. I just told the Lord, you know, you could take me now, God. An upset stomach is such a drag, isn't it? But rejoice in the Lord always, even when you got a really bad stomach ache, even when life is a tragedy. And I'm using a really light, frivolous example, but I also want to say that I know people are going through real difficulties, real struggles, struggles that affect your life, struggles that affect your health, struggles that affect what you can do now, what you're going to be able to do in the future. And yet, we are to rejoice because our future is with him. Because our future is that we will be his bride in heaven. And he says, rejoice always. And again, I say, rejoice. And then in this topic of this conflict that's taking place within the church, he says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And that is that we are to lovingly, gently encourage those around us who may be going astray. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 that if someone is sinning, you who are spiritual, go to that person with a spirit of gentleness and restore them, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So there is even supposed to be this spirit of gentleness. We think about rebuking people. That person's doing this, it's wrong. I'm going to go tell them what they're doing that's wrong. Well, I hope you have a spirit of gentleness when you go, because that's what we're supposed to do. What is it? 1 Timothy 2:24, I think. The servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, correcting those that are in opposition to him. So when you see something that is wrong, the servant of the Lord must not quarrel. There's got to be a gentleness. And this is a gentleness that God wants us to have within the church. And I think that there are people who do leave a church because there's not this gentleness. Because there can be, people are, again, right? People are messy. People sin. People make mistakes. People do things they're not supposed to do. And some of you guys that are here may be making your way back to church after you've been hurt at a church. And you've got a little bit of trepidation as you're coming in. You're kind of like, I'm not sure that I really want to do this. But I really believe that opening yourself up to loving the way that God wants us to love as a church, is the real sign to this world that Jesus is genuine. And they will know that you are my disciples by the love that you have for one another. And so we have to figure out how to develop and demonstrate that love that we have for one another. And when there's difficulties, when you have to straighten things out between a couple of gals with weird Greek names, being tender and gentle, being kind is so important. I also, as I come to the end of this study, just want to say to those of you who have been hurt by people in the church, and church is made up of people, so they're part of the church, I want to say that I'm sorry. I'm sorry that happened to you. As a representative of the church, I want to say I'm sorry. And my hope is that you would be able to get by it. And I realize, again, there are very real hurts that happen. Hurts that sometimes cause people lifelong pain, that will never return to the church again because of a hurt that is there. And so how important is verse 5 for you and me? As we consider, we're not in church just for a few weeks or a few couple of years. Hey, we'll be here until Jesus returns. I used to say, until we die or Jesus returns, but I think we're close to Jesus returning, by the way. But verse 5 again, let your gentleness be known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. This is really a unity issue. God wants there to be a unity within the church. And let me just give you a few verses on unity and we'll be done. In John 17, 23, Jesus prayed for our unity. He said this, I'm going to come into the middle of his prayer here. I in them and you in me, that they, speaking of the church, may be perfect in one. Talk about a statement of unity. Jesus prayed that we as the church would be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. We are a representation of the love of Christ in the world. And there's something about our unity and the love that we have for one another and the gentleness and the demonstration of that love that helps the world to be able to see that. Psalms 133, 1 through 3, you guys will recognize this immediately, especially if you've been in church for a while. You probably sang the song. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down the beard of Aaron, running down the edges of his garment. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded blessings, life evermore. Let me read you just one more. Colossians 3, 13 and 14. Remember, we're talking about unity. Again, I'm coming in the middle of a statement, all right? Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. And above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Love is what real maturity is, and it's the bond of perfection. May there truly be a tenderness. The part of this passage that really speaks to me is again verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. That ought to be who we are in the church. As we interact with one another, there will be things that are done that shouldn't be done. There'll be things that are said that shouldn't be said. But in all of it, let our gentleness be known throughout the church. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you that we can take time to take a look at these 5 verses as Paul deals with a contention in the middle of the Philippian church. And Lord, we want to have love, tenderness, gentleness, caring, forgiveness for one another. Thank you that you have loved us. Thank you that you have forgiven us and that you are doing a work inside of us. And Lord, we pray that this church and the church in general would be what you want it to be, that you would be working in us, that you would be revealing to us what we as genuine Christians are supposed to do and how we are supposed to live. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, for a few moments and your eyes closed. If you're here today and you've never received Christ, you've never said, I want you in my life. The Bible says in John 1:12, as many as receive him, he gives the power to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. That means that you would believe in him and invite him in. And if you don't want to receive him, then you don't have to. If you say, well, I don't want to live for him, I want to live for myself. Well, let me just give you something Jesus said. Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll save it. And so he's looking for you to say, Lord, here's my life. I'm no longer going to live for myself, but I'm now ready to live for you. And whatever you want from me and however you want me to live, I'm there. You speak, I'll listen, and I'll do it. And if you've never made that kind of commitment to Christ before, what'll happen is there will be a transformation in your life. You will be changed. You will become the person that God is working in you to become. And so if you're here today and you're ready to surrender your life to him and to begin to live for him, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Right where you are, just raise your hand. I want to take my time to acknowledge your hands and pray for you. God bless you guys. That's awesome. God bless you guys up in the balcony. That's great. Anyone else? By raising your hand, you're simply saying, I want you in my life. Lord, come in. And if you call out to him, the Bible says, call out to God and he will answer you. God bless you, sir. Under the balcony there. Anyone else? I'll just scan the room one more time. I'm not going to go on and on. If you want to give your life to Christ, then raise your hand now. If you're online, you can simply respond. Say, Lord, I want you in my life. All right, you can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those online that received Christ and those who raised their hand, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life and I turn from my sin that I can live for you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. How exciting. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. May you find yourself a true ambassador of Jesus Christ. Citizens of heaven, placed here to do the work that God's called us to do. And may God honor the time that you spend searching out spiritual things. May there be a real depth of growth in your life spiritually.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evening at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and noon. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.